The Becoming and Silence podcast is about awakening to the greatest potential you always were. Listen to teachings, interviews, and inspiring stories of others who have challenged the accepted, expanded possibility, and merged modern-day life with ancient wisdom to discover their greatest potential. When you become fearless, you become limitless. Now be inspired by today's episode. In today's episode of Becoming Unsilenced, I share the story of Chef Jaime Llano. Chef Jaime is the owner and, of course, chef of Casita Maria in Mazatlan, Mexico. He's one of the most amazing chefs that I have come across in my travels. His food and wine is so delightful. And I first discovered his restaurant in 2019 when I was in Mazatlan on one of my trips there. When I learned his story of how he got started in his grandma's house and just the journey that he went through in opening his own restaurant, I was so inspired at his persistence, his vision, and determination. And I knew I wanted to come back and share his story someday. He's gone from literally having nothing to creating this amazing restaurant, having his own wine label, and the most delicious food ever. So when I went back to Mazatlan in December of 2020, I was able to sit down with Chef Jaime Llano and record this interview. Now, we did this interview on the patio of his restaurant. And so you're going to hear the background noise of the streets of Mazatlan, which I hope will just help add to the ambiance of this conversation. So join me now as we hear and are inspired by the story of Chef Llano. I'm here this afternoon with Chef Jaime Llano at your cafe, Casita Maria, in Mazatlan, Mexico. So just introduce us a little bit to you, Chef, and tell us just a little bit about who you are and Casita Maria as we get started here.
Hi, Vicky. Like always, it's a pleasure to have you in Casita. You know, we know each other for, more than 2 years, probably?
Actually, a year and a half.
Year and a half? Well, yeah. I was close. I was born here in Mazatlan, and this is pretty much my city town, and Casita Maria is my job. It's like a little bit like a dream, and it came true. Yeah.
Which is so awesome, and is why we're here talking today, because so it was like May of last year when we met, when I came to your restaurant for the first time.
That was the time when you were with your sister?
Yes, I was here with my sister, and then the rest of my family was coming down in a couple days for a trip. But I remember instantly feeling like you were a very inspired person, like you had a very cool story behind your restaurant, and then of course got to hear that from you last year as it unfolded. So let's start by, where did the name of your restaurant come from?
Well, Maria was the name of my grandma before I was working in this location. I've been working in Casita Maria as a project since almost 7 years. And I used to live in the States, so when I was coming to Mazatlan, one of those trips, I had like 3 or 4 days off. I mean, 3 or 4 months off, and I couldn't stay without, doing anything. So I wanted to open a restaurant, but one of my uncles, he suggests to don't do that, just do it over here at the house. At my grandma's house. My grandma passed away a long time ago, almost more than 10 years. And this uncle is living in the house. So that's the house where I grew up before I moved to the States. And then I was doing private dinners. That was at my grandma's house. And everything was under reservation. I used to post everything on Facebook, and people were making their reservations. So one night, I had this customer, and then she asked me, "What's the name of the restaurant?" So at that point, it wasn't a restaurant. We were on the living room. I was taking all the furniture and putting tables and chairs. So she asked me that, and I was like, "Well, this is my grandma's house. Her name is Maria. We're in a tiny part of the house, so it just came like this, Casita Maria." So it's also like, you know, like on behalf of my grandma, because she's the one who raised me. So
that's what I was going to ask you next, because I remember you telling me that your grandma had a big influence on your life.
Yeah, unfortunately, my mother passed. She passed away when I was six. So okay. I was the youngest of my other three brothers. We're four. I was the youngest one. And I stayed at my grandma's. She was, back then, she was, I don't know, more than 60 years old, and I was six. And she raised me. And everything I know, everything I learned, it came out from her.
That is very cool. So this is in honor of her. The restaurant is named in honor of her, as it developed from her house. Tell me about grandma raising you. How were you as a child?
I was six, and she was a tough lady. She was like, you know, like grandma's like tough, but she had a nice heart, a big heart. She had like a chicken heart, but she was, you know, she struggled in life. Like back then, she had some difficulties, but she had a nice heart. She was a person who was always helping others.
And as a child, were you determined as a child? Like, were you stubborn? Were you determined to?
Well, I always, since I was very young, I always wanted to do something in life. I always I wanted to become something in life. The first thing was, I'm not married yet, but that was one of the things I always had impressed. Like, I grew up with no mom, with no dad, so I said since I was little, you know what, when I grew up, if I marry, I want to have kids, because I have my brothers right now, but they're older than me, and I don't have dad, I don't have mom, so I want that. And speaking of the restaurant or culinary, I discovered this, I don't know, when I was 20 something. I didn't go to school for to learn to cook, and it's something I discovered. It was with me. In Mazatlan, I don't know if you know this, there's so many musicians, you know, banda music and regional Mexican music. And a lot of them, I get very, I feel in the same way like them, because a lot of musicians, they didn't go to school. They had it. How did they learn? I don't know, they have that gift. And that's how I feel, because I never took any lesson to cooking. I just like to eat.
You like to eat?
Absolutely, yeah.
So when did you know that this interest, or when did that interest in cooking develop?
Well, I've been working in restaurants since I was very young. I was 12 years old when I started working in the first restaurant here in Mazatlan, and it was like I fell in love with that. I really liked it. But when I discovered that I liked cooking, and then you know, just making good stuff, like making good food, that was, I don't know, when I was 20 something, I guess.
So were you in the States at that point in time?
I was in the States. When I moved to the States, I was, I'm not sure if I was 16 or 14, but it was in between. Yes, I was already in the States.
And how did you end up going to the States?
I have been always like, you know, like a rebel. I remember one time I told my grandma I want to discover the world. I just want to go and, I don't know, find new things. I mean, Macedonia is beautiful, but back then I wanted to, I don't know, see the world.
So you knew there was something more.
I have that feeling that I had to go. I don't know. So I choose to go to the States. Back then I had some relatives. I have two of my brothers and one aunt. And she was living in Arizona. So that was the first place I arrived when I moved to the States.
Okay.
Yeah.
So while you were in the States, is that where you began to develop your interest in cooking?
I think so, because I started going to many restaurants. I was visiting other restaurants, and I was, you know, tasting new flavors. I was meeting people from different parts of the world, and then, like I told you before, I grew up working with Italians, with French, with Greeks. And I don't know, I just like it. It was very interesting to see different cultures, different people, different languages, of course, different kind of food. That was totally amazing.
At that point in time when that interest was just developing, did you ever imagine you'd have your own restaurant?
Yes. I didn't know how, but I always wanted to have my restaurant, and I built my own castle in my mind, and then I wanted to do it in the States, but it was a little difficult because, you know, it's very expensive, some sort of things. But with the time, I said, well, I learned a lot of things. It will be nice to go to my city town and bring this information or whatever I learned. And I always was thinking to get back to Mazatlan all the time. Mazatlan always was on my heart.
So I want to ask just a little bit more about this building it in your mind, because it's one of the concepts that I teach a lot to my audience, is you have to create it in your mind first.
You know what? The first thing I was thinking in my mind, it was, first, I didn't want it to study to be a chef. And probably back then, I did not know that I got, let's call it a gift. And then I said, if I'm gonna be cooking in my restaurant. I don't wanna go cook for somebody else. And then I start building, in my mind, what I was gonna do, how I was gonna do it, and probably with nothing in my pockets, with no money, but it was right there. It was right there.
You didn't have to have the money in your pocket to be able to build it in your mind and begin to create it, because that's where everything is built first, is in somebody's mind.
Yeah, I was making a plan in my mind, and you know, when you want something, you have to really want it. You know, you really have to go behind your goals and. It's not gonna be easy, but it's on you if you like to continue or if you want to fight, you know?
So what did that path look like for you?
I was always strong. I was always like, I'm gonna do it. It doesn't matter how. It doesn't matter what it costs me. But I'll do it. I, this is my dream, and I'll do it. But at the same time, I was getting involved with aviation. I love aviation. I like airplanes. And back then, I wanted to study to become a pilot, but it was difficult to work, going to school, and especially school. It was very expensive. I think it was more expensive than culinary, I guess. Yeah, but I got those two passions, and I still have them. But one day I'll get my my private license to be flying.
That's still building.
Oh yeah.
That dream is still building.
I'm making that building in my mind.
Yeah, that's right. So tell us, then, you have this passion to own the restaurant. You were in California at the time, and what was the transition like back to Mazatlan? Tell us about creating your wine and getting started back in Mazatlan.
Well, when I was in California and Los Angeles, I was working in several restaurants, and one of them, it was a winery. That was one of the first restaurants I started working in LA. And since I was a little boy at the first restaurant I worked, I remember one waiter, he gave me a book. It was a tiny book, and it was like an explanation of the wines, the story, and everything. And since then, I got, you know, I like the information. I'm not a heavy drinker, but I always had that feeling of the wines. So when I was in LA working in this winery, you know, I start, you know, like getting more involved. And then I was, you know, buying a little bit of my wines, a little bit of the wines, and drinking the wine at home. And then I was cooking something, and then I said, oh, if I had a restaurant, I would make this recipe like this, da 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 da. And then that's how I started making it.
So that's where the recipes that you...
Some of them, yeah.
...came from, or that you started with.
Yeah.
Wow. So your that desire is growing in you. What obstacles were in between you and actually opening your doors of a restaurant?
Well, the obstacle it has been always it was money. Money is, to me, money, it's like a tool. Some people think money is gonna give you happiness, and no, money is just a tool. It will give you the way to create things. But you can have all the tools, but if you don't have in your heart like the passion or the how do you say, like the goals to continue doing your stuff, it won't help you. No matter how many tools you have, you have to have the passion. You have to be, you know, like very strong mentally to get to your dreams.
Yeah.
That's my opinion.
Were there places in there that you thought that you might not get to your dreams?
Never. You know, I passed through so many, you know, hard times, but I was always, I'm gonna do it. No matter what, I'll do it.
You told me a story about a chef that inspired you in a moment when you needed some inspiration.
Yeah, well, there's many people that have been close to me, either, I don't know, in television or live, but in particular, this guy, he was the first He was the first Mexican to won a Michelin star. And I met him in Ensenada in Baja California. At that time, I was having like, I was struggling so bad. I was like really, really bad. I probably told you a little bit of this story, but one of my trips to Mexico, when I get in vacations and I want to go back, I went back to the States. They didn't let me in. So they took my visa and practically I was deported. So that broke my heart because they make me feel like naked. I was like, yeah, Mexico is my country, but I spent half of my life in the US. So what am I gonna do now? And then I went to Ensenada and I was working in a restaurant and we were having a event. And this guy, I didn't even know nothing about him. So he came to the restaurant. I was working with him directly. We were making some of the recipes. And I like him because he was very, how do you say, humble. And then, I don't know, I got that connection with him. This guy won so many prizes. He was, you know, well known in the world, but his feet were always on the ground, and you know, I like that. And at the end of that night, when we finished, he started giving us a speech. He tells us a little bit of his story, all the things he passed through, and I got touched. I feel like a mirror, like I was right there, and I got very inspired. So at that time, to me, that was like how do you say that? It's like a message. It was like a message, like it was meant to be. It was meant to me to be at that speech. I was struggling, but that speech made me get stronger. Like, don't give up.
Reminded you not to give up. And in a moment when, let's just, because you said this, but we went over it quick. Your visa had been taken, and all of your plans as you had been moving at that moment were suddenly just turned upside down.
Yeah, everything changed.
Yeah.
But, probably at that moment, I couldn't see that change. It was for something positive.
Yes, yes. So, from this perspective now, how was it for something positive?
Great. It changed me in a lot of ways. You know what? Most people, you know, right now what we're living on this pandemic situation, people is always afraid to changes. So what I learned from that change is that if you're in a how do you say, like a comfort zone, you're gonna be there always. You need changes in your life to become a better person, to become whatever, but in a good way. Those changes are positive, and we might not see it right there when they're happening because we're afraid of what's gonna happen. But every change in life is good. It's always for good. So
if you were to give a message right now to someone who might be listening to this who just feels like their life was just turned upside down, what would you tell them?
Don't give up. Never give up. Always keep fighting. Whatever you want in life, fight for it. Fight. Tell the universe, tell God, tell whoever you believe in that you're ready. And always fight, fight, fight. Don't give up. That's the secret recipe. Don't give up.
Love that. Okay, we're going to come back to that in another moment after we get through another part of your story. But you ended up back in Mazatlan. And your first restaurant here was down the street a ways from where you're at now.
Yeah,
right?
it was like a food park. And my kitchen, it was very tiny. It was like 2 meters by one. It was a very tiny thing. And then I started cooking over there. And my main customers were tourists, Americans or Canadians. Most of them live 6 months in Mazatlan. So the place at the beginning, it was empty. It was nobody there. So I was going to the street to bring customers in. So one time, I remember, I was going to the street and I invite somebody to come in. So they never expected to have, because the place, it wasn't pretty. It was ugly. And they didn't expect it to have the kind of food I was serving, so they get like very impressed. They like the flavors, they like the treat. And then the next day, I remember it was coming more and more and more, and all of a sudden the place, it was packed. And these people, they started spreading the word, and my place, it was full. So that's where I met good friends, and I met one of my business partners. So we met over there. He liked my restaurant, and we became friends, and he said, you know what? We have to do something about it. And here we are.
And here we are. Wow. So how long were you in that small restaurant?
8 months.
Wow.
From that point it
quickly developed into finding your...
Well, at first I was there for 8 months. I was in the whole season of, we call them the snowbirds.
Yep, this all the snowbirds.
So when April, May arrived, most of them were gone. And the locals didn't know about that tiny place. And like I said, the place, it wasn't pretty, but we were serving amazing food. And I was holding because May, June, July, August were the September, the very bad months for any business, especially in restaurants. And I was holding till the day I had nothing in my pockets, not even a cent. I was totally empty, and I couldn't stay anymore. I couldn't pay rent, I couldn't pay my credit cards, I have nothing. So I decided to, okay, well, I have to stop doing this. But I was struggling, but that situation, it didn't really make me think that that was the end. That was the end of one era, but I knew it was something else coming. I knew for sure. It doesn't matter how strong times I was passing through, but I knew there was something else.
So even when you were down to no money in your pocket, didn't know how was going to, you were having to close the door on that place, you still didn't give up that hope and faith.
I didn't give up. I started working, doing all kind of things. I was even a Uber driver, and I was doing all kind of stuff to not give up. I had my goal, and I wasn't gonna give up, and I was doing all kind of stuff. And I'm gonna tell you something. I had days where when I didn't have to eat. I remember that time. It was like 3-4 days in a row that I didn't eat nothing, just water, because I have no money to buy food. And I haven't told just a couple friends, but it was, I don't know if it is embarrassed or not, but I was that bad. But that make me more stronger. Like, I won't give up. I won't give up. But it doesn't matter what it takes me. But
so fueled your determination.
Yes.
Mentally, like, how did you? Because you said being mentally strong is so important, and at that point in time, I think you had to be so mentally strong. How did you do that? Or
just keep your your goals. I mean, if you have something in mind that you really want to with all your heart, do it, and that's what is gonna keep you alive, like on your feet, and especially you know, mentally.
Yeah.
You gotta be strong. Like right now with the pandemic, if you're not strong, you're gonna get sick. You don't want to get sick, right? So don't listen to that. Just listen to positive things. Don't look to a place where you don't have to look.
So what I hear you saying is don't tune into the news 24/7. Don't tune into all the people who are telling all the naysayers who are.
You know what? I don't watch TV for at least, I don't know, 10 years probably, mm-hmm. especially news. I don't care. I mean, why am I gonna be seeing like bad things on? I mean, life is always like a battle to all of us. So why are you gonna be watching more, you know, like trash? That's what I call it.
So what you put into your mind is what's gonna create.
Yes. Yes. Your mind has to be always positive. You always have to be, you know, in that position, always be on the good, you know? You have to be mentally strong, no matter what.
So you went from having nothing in your pocket to now having your restaurant here on
Mazatlan
on right in the tourist area, Golden Zone. Well, maybe this is the Golden Zone.
This is the Golden Zone.
This is the Golden Zone.
This is actually the heart of the Golden Zone.
Yeah. Which, so I first came to Mazatlan probably 9 years ago and just fell in love with the city.
I think the first time you came to the restaurant, you were sitting at this table. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
You and your sister, yes.
Yes.
And I remember what you ordered. You guys ordered. Actually, you did not order. I sold to you one of the specials. It was a burrata cheese.
Mm-hmm. It was delicious.
And then I offer you some of the wines I'm making. So you try the wine, you love the wine, you like the cheese, and you fall in love with the restaurant.
And we tried your amazing desserts.
Yeah.
And it was amazing. So you have a super good memory to remember all
Absolutely,
of those
yeah.
things. Yeah. So I know that you told me the other day that this is just the beginning for
this
you.
This is just the beginning. I have so many projects in the future. Right now, the pandemic, it hold it a little bit, but mm-hmm. it's going to happen. It's going to happen. We got more projects in my personal, how do you say it? Yeah, my personal goals, I have more, you know?
So what's one of those? Can you give us a sneak peek on what's something in the future for you?
We're going to be making more wines. We're going to be bringing more wines. They're Mexican wines, and that's one of the goals. We're producing, I started making two wines. Right now we have like around 14, 15 different types of wine. And then I have a sauce, which is one of the most popular things on the restaurant. It's a sauce made of five different chilies and toasted peanuts. So we have a project for that. We have to make, you know, like a whole brand to sell that you can find that sauce in all the stores in Massillon. So we're working in that. Hopefully next year we'll get to that.
That's awesome. And
there's more projects. We have more projects. Massillon is growing a lot. I think, like I said, things happen for a reason, and I think I have been in the right spot for something, you know, and Massillon is gonna become one of the most popular destinations in Mexico. So now it's time to get
even
ready.
All the construction that's happening right now is just amazing to me. Even in a pandemic, it doesn't seem like that construction has slowed down or stopped.
Yeah, I don't think they stopped because there's so much jobs, and you know, people have to. They have to live, you know. They have to pay their bills, so they couldn't stop working. I mean, they're taking their own, they're taking care of masks and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But we can stop. We cannot stop.
Yeah. So I've heard a lot of what you've said today is about holding this strong belief and faith in your mind that the things that you want are possible to happen. So tell me about your spiritual beliefs.
Well, I was grown in a family with Catholic beliefs, and I don't have nothing against religions, but I believe more in, you know, like universe, or, you know, like if you're a good person, I mean, things are gonna be okay. I know there's a God, but I don't know what's his name. I don't know if it's Jesus or Buddha, or I don't know. There's something big out there, but I don't know the name of it. So, in my opinion, I think if you're a good person, that's what it really matters. Because if you see the religions, just for mention, the I don't want to get anybody offended, but it's just my opinion. But there's so many people dying with hunger, and why religions don't help them, you know? And all the situation with the fathers abusing with kids, that's not what the religion tell us. So, I mean, I respect that, but I have my own beliefs, you know?
So your belief is in a universe that is a powerful universe that works in a positive way
absolutely.
To support you and what you desire to create.
Absolutely, yes. Yes.
And so the name of this podcast is called Becoming Unsilenced, which is all about saying the things and becoming the things that maybe you didn't think were possible or other people didn't think were possible. So how have you become unsilenced in your own life?
I don't know. I like meditation, and I mean, I'm not an expert, but I get to the point that I wanted to calm my mind and relax, you know? I started doing that in my apartment, and especially this year, I started going to the ocean, to the water. And I was like, you know, just feeling the calm of the water. When everybody was locked in the quarantine, I was going to the ocean to watch the sunset. And it was amazing, the connection I have with, you know, the ocean, the sound of the waves, the calm. That was very peaceful. That was very spiritual to me. Absolutely.
How did that help you through that quarantine time?
Well, I was just keeping myself strong, like just being positive. And we probably need something of that, you know? Like we live in a very rushed times, so it was like a break, you know? And it really helps. It helps to change your thoughts, to have a different vision of life, always in a positive way. So we have to pass through all this, absolutely.
Well, it's been an awesome time getting to hear your story a little bit more and sharing it for the recording.
No, thank you for coming.
I know when I was left last year, I had not launched a podcast yet, but I knew that someday I wanted to come back and capture your story more.
Well, so, thank you.
So here we are doing that. That's pretty exciting. And right in the city that is such a beautiful, beautiful city. So what words of encouragement or advice would you leave for someone who has a dream that they're working to make come true?
Be always strong and never, never give up. No matter what, don't give up. Don't give up. That's the secret recipe.
Awesome. The secret sauce from straight from the chef.
There you go.
Well, your food is amazing. How would you describe your food?
Well, in my menu, there's all the items on the menu. Those are the things I like, and there's something I love to eat, and I want people to try those flavors. There's a little bit of influence of the Mediterranean and the French and the Italians, and of course a little bit of our Mexican cuisine. So those are flavors that I like to taste. So I want people to try them.
And which I know you also had a trip to Europe scheduled this year that you had to postpone because
yes.
of the pandemic. I know that, I think that broke your heart a little bit.
You know what? Yes, it didn't broke my heart. Like I said, things are meant to be. So it was for a reason that I didn't go, but I might go probably next year. But I was very, how do you say that? Like I was waiting for the time to go because my trip is gonna be like a culinary trip. I was gonna go to France and Italy, and it was all about food. And I was waiting for that time because I was gonna try different flavors, and I was always on my mind. Oh, I'm gonna go to this place. I'm gonna try this. Da 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 da. And those ideas, they're gonna come to the restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely.
But it's gonna be probably next year. Hopefully, everything gets better. So.
So I look forward to coming back after
absolutely.
You've gone to Europe and
always
added
ask
some
for
more
the special
flavors. Always ask for the special. And for anyone who's listening, if you haven't been to Mazatlan, when you come, make sure you look up Chef Yano at Casita Maria.
Absolutely.
The secret sauce: never give up. And thank you so much for taking time out of your day, or you're preparing for your evening crowd here.
Thank you for coming. It's always a pleasure to have you here.
Okay. We'll see you next time.
All right. We'll see you here.
How do you say never give up in
Español? No te rindas. O nunca, it's never te rindas.
Nunca te rindas.
There you go.
Nunca te rindas.
Thanks for being here. If you have a topic or question you want to hear more about, send it to us at the email below. Have an inspired day.